AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products, with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio, broadcasting on 860 AM, serving Philadelphia and the tri-state area. And of course, if you live in southeastern Pennsylvania, the state of New Jersey, and northern Delaware, I ask that you contact family members and friends and invite them to tune in here on 860. If they are outside the area, go to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Live link. For those of you that have Alexa or any of these others, you can call and just say, tune into American Workers Radio 860, and it will call it up immediately. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we have a full hour of total good stuff to talk about. First of all, I want to say a special thank you to our panel members. Last week, Henry did a great job. Henry, thank you for being the best, the very, very best. Our engineer is the best. Never let it be said that Henry Chaplinsky is not the best of the best. Also, I want to thank our panel members, Mark Andel. As you know, he's the founder of the Made in America store. We're going to talk to him about the big show that took place last weekend. Larkin Connolly, our national small business advocate, is out on the road today. Rich Logis, principal of RJL Technology Integration. And of course, Curtis Ellis sends his greetings. He is out today promoting the American First Project, and I want to thank him for his help. Once again, Henry, I'm Michael Blihash. Always glad to talk with you about a lot of good things. We've been listening to people telling us in our travels how wonderful they enjoy the show and stuff like that. This past weekend, we had a great festival, the Polish American Festival in the Bridesburg section. Thousands of people came out, the music, dancing, the vendors. It was unbelievable. My thanks to Melissa Michalczak for all of her good efforts, and to all the people that assisted her, all the vendors and the musicians, all deserve a lot of credit. Also, on Sunday, we had the Pulaski Day Parade in Philadelphia, another great event. 150,000 plus people watched on the television, WPBI TV6, and we're grateful to all who were out there, all who tuned in, because we're doing our best. And of course, American Workers Radio was well represented throughout the hour and a half live broadcast to make sure that we were well represented. My thanks to Alicia Vitarelli, who hosted the broadcast with me, because it was a nice day, a beautiful day of history, culture, and pride. You know, ladies and gentlemen, last week we spoke about the aftermath of poor national leadership over the last 30 plus years. That really greatly hurt America's economy, American workers, and it put America in debt for over $20 trillion. If you go on the debt clock, $20 trillion, that puts like every American from birth to death in around $70,000 worth of debt. What that simply means is, in order for us to pay that off, each one of us, the child born today and the person's ready to die tonight, has to pay $70,000 to Uncle Sam to cover the losses they generated, supposedly looking out for our best interests. Who's going to pay that? Right now, it continues to rise. The debt is unbelievable. A lot of that money is borrowed from foreign countries. That's why they have so much to say. American workers, unions are investing money in pension plans. And as respectfully presented by Curtis Ellis, that all that money is being invested in foreign funds. So we are building foreign countries with our future investment funds for pension plans in America. Who's going to pay for those dollars? Our children? Rich? Your children? My children? My grandchildren? Mark? Your children? Your grandchildren? And future generations are going to have to pay for poor management. That is enough to make anybody sick. My solution, I do have a solution, but we can discuss it. But first, I want to go to Mark Andel for his report on how the show went last weekend. Mark, welcome, and let us know everything.
How you doing, Mike and Rich, and I think Larkin's listening in, and Curtis also. But Henry, thanks for making us sound good. Mike, awesome event. 5 days we took. We had a travel day last Wednesday. Of course, talked to you on the radio a little bit. And, you know, got down there Thursday in Indianapolis, Indiana, huge convention center, 300-400 vendors. It was the inaugural, the first event of its kind ever. So Don Buckner, I got a chance to hug and shake his hand, Mike. And, you know, Jason Blount was a fan of ours and yours for years. And Brad Winnings, his team did a great job, but they took on a lot. In 7 months, they, you know, not only had the vision, but formed the largest Made in America event under one roof. So, Mike, it's something that has to happen always. The Thursday night, last Thursday, Big and Rich, big fans of Made in America and entrepreneurism. John Rich just came up with his new whiskey, which is very good, Mike. We had to try it. Cork, bottle, everything 100% made in our country. And then Ted Nugent, me and Henry were just talking off radio, icon, 71 years old, really did a phenomenal job. So for 3 hours they kept us entertained. But all really, all the people, Mike Russ, they believe in America. I haven't been to a show where everybody has the same belief from the same fabric, so it was awesome. The feeling was good. Friday we went, the floor was open. We had the General Welding and Made in America displays, but there was 300 other vendors. We picked up probably 400 new products, Mike, inventions, phone gadgets, to whatever, but all 100, not all 100% Made in America, but the ones we found were 100%. Some, you know, could be a little shy of 100% because they're still Made in America and follow the Federal Trade Commission laws. But you had tools, machine tools, manufacturing items. You know, Red Gold, we sell their ketchup now, but they're the largest tomato manufacturing in the world. They have 1,300 employees. They're based in Indiana. We had so many neat vendors, one called Scars and Stripes, and you'd appreciate it, all veteran-owned, but the first coffee made in America. And a lot of the show tailored to the veterans, the homeless, those who served, how do we give back. The one gentleman who served lost 32 soldiers, friends, throughout the combat, not too old, in his 40s, did a speech at the end, and it was so touching. I mean, it was in a large auditorium, and he said, you know, everybody wants to thank a veteran, and, you know, he said, we don't want thanks. You know, all we want you to be is an American worth dying for. And, Mike, it really hit the crowd, and he had lost 32 of his friends to post-traumatic stress disorder and suicide. So very touching event. That was Friday, was really the Veterans Night, and then Saturday was the awards night. Floor was open, and then the last award they honored us with, Mike, and it was great. They named us the largest Made in America retail store in the country, but let alone world. So they gave us an award, called me up, and it really put the whole show together for me. Not only did we build new relationships, new products, but a lot of friends made, and to be recognized and respected was awesome.
Wonderful. Mark, boy, oh boy, anything else that you would like to see brought to the public's attention about this show?
You know, they had economists, you know, actually was a Democrat at once, and, you know, but believes in the Trump effect. He went through, if the growth continues in the economy, you'll work on your deficit that you talked about. If they work on the projected 19% growth, Mike, of the economy, the way it's going, there's actually more people needing jobs, and I mean, there's more jobs than there's people unemployed now. It's never happened in history. They had so many facts. It wasn't an R&D thing. Don worked very hard to keep it neutral and just being an American thing. So we've seen a lot of economists, a lot of speakers, a lot of facts going on. It's the best economy in years and years by far, and the facts all support it. So a lot of what you talk about, the deficit, can be taken care of by the Trump effect. And a lot of great things, Mike. Just can't say enough for the show. Don Buckner did book it for next year. It is locked up, and that's how the show will grow. But he had a lot of guts to do it in 7 months and pull off a big event. You know, he didn't make money on the show, I know that, but his heart, and they had mass each day, prayer every morning. That Rose Tennant was the spokeswoman, did a phenomenal job.
Beautiful. Wow. This is what it's all about. This
yep.
is really what it's all about. Why has it taken all these years for people in Washington to understand that they screwed America with their poor leadership? And now it's really up to people like you and I and Rich and Don and Larkin and Curtis and all the other people that are out there beating the drum.
Yeah,
we're private people. How about the people we elected to where, you know, do our best interest in Washington? All they're doing is sitting back and collecting money, sitting around bickering and arguing, but nothing for the American worker. And I'm going to talk about my solution a little later on in today's show.
And Mike, I'd like to say, you know, with the show, Don Buckner and his team are from Florida. They brought a lot of congressmen and whatnot right from Florida, even their priest and whatnot. It was pretty neat and pretty cool. We had media attention there. Comcast is still coming out with one. They interviewed me. They had locals. They did have Fox and Friends Friday night and Fox Business Saturday night, all throughout the night, like 3 in the morning, 4 in the morning, 5 in the morning. I wasn't interviewed on that, but, you know, it should be world news. It should be all of them should have been there. They did have attention, but I believe it should have been spotlighted, highlighted. It's the biggest event that ever happened of its kind.
Yes, I know how this works with the media.
Yeah, you know.
If you pay, if Don yeah. next year has the show and is able to generate some ads or blob by blocks of infomercials, he can get in during, you know, prime time. But that's how it works. I mean, first of all, quite frankly, do you think that the people, all those people that invested in foreign countries, care about a show like that? No, that show to them means nothing. It shows the fact that too many jobs left America, and we're just seeing all the work to bring them back now and expand what we have. They don't want to see that. They invested trillions of dollars building factories in foreign countries where the wages were slave labor wages. They don't want to hear about a show about American made. That's why some people say to me, I'm amazed that you're still doing your thing and that somebody hasn't put you off the air. I said, well, I do my thing. I'm an independent. I can do what I want. And Don is an independent. He can do what he wants. But why aren't more of the major media, the major businesses coming forward? The major businesses,
you're,
I can see.
You're right, Mike.
You know, the major businesses, Mark, I can see why they're not coming, because they have so much invested in foreign countries that it's hard for them to admit that they should not have done what they did to America.
Right. Right.
Other countries have very little poverty in some of the places where poverty was very heavy 20 and 30 years ago. And in America, poverty has grown. Now, with the new president, with the new ideas, with the new thinking in America, we are seeing businesses come and to the table and say, we want to be operational here in the USA, where our customers are. We want to see, you know, more things happen. We want infrastructure addressed and everything else. Why hasn't that been done in the last 30 years? And this is not a Democrat or a Republican thing. It is a poor leadership thing across the board. I'm going to call in Rich before I go to something I'd like the three of us to talk about. Rich, how are you doing? Open forum, give it to us straight.
Michael, good morning. And Mark, thank you for representing. Looked at the photos, looked at the videos, saw the segment that Fox News did. So thank you to Fox. And yeah, I didn't really, I mean, I did look around, Michael. I wanted to see if some other major legacy media outlets paid any attention to this. I saw some bits and pieces, but it would have been, ideally would have been quite appropriate to have featured a segment about it. But, you know, we do what we do, Michael. Mark, you do what you do irrespective of what people think about it, right? I mean, we do it because we believe in it, and look at I say this all the time, that Mark is one of the pioneers in this country for Made in America. And I said, Michael, last week when you were, thanks for letting me guest host for all of 60 seconds. It's the only 60 seconds I should ever guest host, that, you know, when you look at these tariffs that are in place right now, I see them as very wise for the moment. And I'm someone who's admitted on this show that before the last year or so, I was someone who truthfully didn't know a lot about tariffs, and I've come to read about them, and I understand the arguments for and against, but right now there's a 10 million pound gorilla, Michael, in the room at the Democratic National Committee's offices in Washington. And that 10 million pound gorilla is that unemployment is at its lowest rate in the last 17,000 days. We have not had as low an unemployment rate. You have to go back 17,000 days ago to have a rate as low as now. 17,000 days is a pretty long time, right? So you have to go back 17,000 days ago until we had an unemployment rate such as we have right now. I've read reports, Mark, we have over 5 million job listings. Now, there's problems. Companies are experiencing problems filling those jobs, which is a different conversation. The United States Treasury, Michael, just collected a record amount of income taxes in fiscal year 2018. And in fairness, income tax from the Treasury collected was also increasing under Obama. So again, let's be fair on our points when we have to be. Since the end of 2016, there have been 5 million jobs created. 4.5 million of those jobs have gone to minorities. Even the Washington Post has debunked the narrative that the current economy is the Obama economy. Certain demographics of minorities are experiencing the lowest poverty rates that they've ever had. Now, of course, it's not all utopia, Michael. There's always work to be done. So we're all just seeking real progress, actual real progress. But when you actually look at the economic numbers, when you look at some other related numbers, private businesses spending more, more capital investment, even little stuff like people are owning more cars today, Michael, than they had before. I won't entirely say that, you know, President Obama didn't, that he, there were some gains that were made. I'm not going to dispute that because, again, we like to come to the outcome as it actually is. But based on everything I just said, Michael, is it any wonder that the Democrats and the Democrat media industrial complex have 8-hour town halls, not on the economy, but on gays and transgenders and lesbian, all that crap? There's no 8-hour town hall on our economy right now.
Or why? American workers.
Why aren't? Well, but ask, everyone just has to, again, just whatever one's political persuasion, whatever one's ideological persuasion, ask yourself an honest, objective question. Why isn't there an 8-hour town hall at CNN on the economy? Why is, and is the economy, Mark, not usually the number one most important issue to Americans, if not number one, very high up there? So the most important issue, Michael, gets literally zero airtime amongst the opposition. Ask yourself why that is. And I think if you answer it objectively, forget about your, again, doesn't matter who you voted for, just look at it objectively. We know the answer why. What's actually unfortunate about it, I'll leave you this last point. I'm speaking for myself here. Whatever economic gains, Michael, we may have had under President Obama, I never sat here and thought, man, I hope the economy goes on a downturn. I hope people lose jobs. I hope people lose 401ks. I hope businesses close. So that way we can get Obama. I never, ever thought that. I don't know anyone who personally thinks that. What's actually frightening is that you've got tens of millions of Americans rooting for that right now, for that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that.
It's shameful.
Tens of millions are sitting here thinking, well, I know an economic recession wouldn't be good, but, you know, maybe we get the guy out of office. To which I must ask, do you actually believe what's coming out of your mouth right now?
Mm-hmm.
You really believe that?
Yep. You know, Rich, there are a few things I want to just mention as per what you just said. First of all, even though there were tax breaks given to the businesses and to people, there has been a record a record amount of taxes collected, mainly because more jobs, more industries are putting out products made here in the USA. Very important point to bring out. The second point, which is very difficult to understand, is there are over 5 million jobs that American businesses cannot fill, mainly because they don't have the high school and college graduates qualified. The word is qualified to fill these jobs. A lot of them are technology based. They don't have those people. They have sheepskins that they graduated high school or college, but they don't have the common sense, the ability to count, add, write, read, whatever. And that's the thing that we have to start looking at. But we always say for people to contact their school boards and make sure their local politicians know, because that's where the decisions are made, on the local school board level. If we have 5 million jobs open right now, we have 10 million people ready to go for the job interview, but not 1,000 of them would be able to fill the qualification level that's needed by many of these tech jobs that are out there right now. It's a very sad situation. It's true, big taxes are coming, you know, into the treasury. Big jobs are coming up the line. And of course, now we're finding the disgrace of it that our school system has been graduating students that don't have the qualifications.
Well, but Michael, this is an amazing time to be alive, Mark, as an American. I really mean that. And I'm not just saying it because we're here. It really is, Michael, because I'm fond of a saying that, like, every time I always have heard in the past, like, fundamental transformation, like, I got to take a sip of water. Whenever I hear fundamental transformation, I need a defibrillator. excuse me. Okay. All right, I'm back. I think wholesale change is very overrated. It's sexy on paper. Fundamental transformation is very sexy on paper. It takes a village, democratic socialism, it's all very sexy on paper. But the problem is that the cleanliness of theory is no match for the mess of reality. Wholesale change, the pursuit of wholesale change has only resulted in world history, in mass suffering. That's what it's resulted in. Whereas actual progress, like when you really break down what progress is, and I'm saying this from a business perspective, progress is targeted improvements and a little bit of touch-ups, right? You know, you got a touch-up here, you got a tune-up there, Mark, and you find targeted improvements. What nationalism is doing in our country now, and why it's an amazing time to be alive. Nationalism is not really about changing. In our current times, topically, nationalism is really more about reform. Now, is there a difference between reform and change? Maybe it's a distinction without much of a difference, but we're not really, I don't sit here and think, man, we got to change everything. What I'm interested in is a reform that goes back to the foundational principles of this republic. And these are foundational principles, Michael. And I say this all the time. The Constitution is the most ahead of its time political document ever written. The founders, the framers of this republic spent 4,000 days creating that Constitution. It wasn't like, you know, Alex Hamilton and Tommy Jefferson got drunk one night and said, hey, Tom, what do you think? Well, I think we should have in peacetime, we shouldn't be able to quarter soldiers. Wow, that sounds fascinating, Mark. What do you think? You know, I think we should have a right to freedom of religion. No, these guys spent 4,000 days, Michael. And those principles, when adhered to faithfully, also create an economic free market that doesn't just focus on the wealthy and the affluent. The wealthy and the affluent do well in any economic model, Michael. As a matter of fact, in tyrannies around the world and in history, the people at the top have more money a lot of times than the people in more capitalist-type systems. Why? Because they own everybody and everything. What we're doing in our economy now, what we're trying to do, we're trying to go in this direction, is we're looking to adhere to smaller government, free market principles, enable people who aren't making as much as they need to, right? Who wanna pursue the life? It's not life, liberty, and the pursuit of utopia. It's life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And in that, and this is what I'm saying, that now we've got nationalism throughout the country, and it's affecting positively our economy, and it is giving people opportunities to rise out of lower income brackets, higher income brackets, which also could mean, depending on how much more, higher tax brackets as well. That's, yes, that could happen. But that's what's happening now, Michael. And anybody can find any data set. I could find any data I want to come to the outcome I want to come to. So the question becomes, you know, are we coming to the outcome we want to come to, or are we coming to the outcome as it actually is? And when you add it all up together, when you look at everything Mark does, when you look at, you know, Mike Sessions, for example, who listens faithfully for years, thank you, Mike, on our show, and everything that they're doing, Made in America is the embodiment of economic nationalism. I mean, Mark, it's what you're doing. You have created a brand that is centered on American workers here earning more money, pursuing opportunities, and lessening, Michael, our dependence on other nations. And that's why I say with the tariffs, I said this last week, that the tariffs, here's why they're a good idea. As we have these economic gains now, Michael, why should these economic gains just go to China-made stuff? Why? I don't want to say it, but they're smart, man. Like, let me tell you, the Chinese, these people are smart, Michael. They were the number one beneficiaries of all the oil in Iraq. Does everyone know that? You know that China was the number one beneficiary of the oil in Iraq? They didn't have a single troop in Iraq, Michael. How long have they been opening this fortune cookie on us? Tell me.
You're right. You're absolutely right, Rich.
And listen, I'm not, and Michael,
and by
I'm
the
not
way,
saying,
they negotiate deals not for 3 or 5 years. They go for 20 and 25 years.
They're smart, Michael. They're smart. They're guile. They're cunning. In the last 10 years ago, there was 0 billionaires in China. Today, there's, I think it's 24. There's 24 billionaires in China. There were 10 years ago, there were none of them. You know, they went from, talk about a slumdog millionaire, from rickshaw to billionaire. Okay? And I'm not saying don't have a relationship. I'm not saying isolate from the world. I'm not saying any of that. But damn it, I am saying eventually the gravy train's got to stop, right? And I know we're not going to lessen our dependence fully on China. But damn it, why can't we do it a little bit? That's where I see the benefit.
Rich, you know, at the show, Rich.
I'm sorry, I went on and on. I apologize. I had to get breathe again after saying fundamental transformation.
We should have had you as a speaker at that show. I'll tell you, they talked a lot about China, and they had an inventor, lawyers, how much intellectual properties were stolen, how they do it, how the new laws, the patent laws in the United States before Trump put regulation and actually fixed the problem. An inventor could not protect his patent, did not have the deep enough pockets, and they were sealing these patents until a year or two ago. You should see, they had a booth mic just for this guy explaining, you know, if you have a patent, then you got to keep building picket fences and keep putting protection and protecting it. But if you don't have the money to do that, and it was fixed for the Walmarts, for China, and these first-time inventors, the Mark Andles with the grill, whatever, they're looking to seal it. But Trump came, and a guy said, yeah, it might cost me $125,000 now to beat him, because they stole my idea, they reproduced it, now I can go after them. But with Trump, at least there's a figure I can honestly do that. I can, okay, 120, I know I can do it. Otherwise, it was endless. You never won. Like Rich said, it was all made up. China is, you know, an animal eating up everything. this show, they talked a lot about, then we went to the stigma put on workers, Mike, at schools. You know, they got to lift the stigma. Working with your hands is okay. Entrepreneurship, inventorship, it all ties into this whole category of Made in America, which you've been all about for years, Mike. And we've got to keep pushing this, because it was a design plan, Rich, just like you're saying, from China mainly and the Walmarts of the world.
Now, isn't it scary that China was clever enough to put it in the rules and the regs, if you hire us to make that product, we have to have all the rights to it that we can improve it.
5-year plan, Mike.
It's unbelievable. And our big leaders in Washington thought nothing about it. Nothing. And you know, Rich, I want to just clarify one thing. You mentioned in the beginning that CNN and some of the other Fox and everybody else, why can't they have an 8-hour discussion on America's economy, jobs in America? I'll tell you why, Rich, because that would immediately admit their mishandling of America for 30 plus years. They would have to slap themselves in the face, because they would have to say, yes, we let the jobs go. Yes, we let them steal our properties. Yes, we let them, you know, put our people into poverty. That's why they don't want a show like that. The politicians and wannabe politicians at the highest office don't want to talk about that stuff.
Michael, the president at the United Nations said a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, he is not elected to be the president of the world. Barack Obama was not elected, theoretically, to be the president of the world. Neither was George Bush. Or go back as far as you want to go. They were elected to preside over this country and our interests.
America
now,
first.
Oh,
America first.
Way,
yeah, one team, so, one country.
Solely. You don't put your hand on the Bible, Michael. Take the oath to the rest of the world. Now, do I agree that the United States has a global role, especially when it comes to diplomacy, foreign policy? Without question. I found it fascinating. I just want to make this point also. I found it fascinating last week that the president, who ran on ending all of these wars or lessening them as much as possible, kept a promise, moved troops around in Syria, and in one day, Michael, 200 million Americans who have never, who not for a singular second in their lives have ever thought about Syria ever, were frothing at the mouth because the president decided to do it. Because CNN and MSNBC told him that they got to froth at the mouth. And you had a couple of Republicans, like Sal Tessio and the Godfather, tries to assassinate Michael. You had a couple of Republicans team up with the Democrats. And here's my question, Michael, for all those Republicans. You want to disagree, it's fine. You're prerogative. How long you been in office talking about this issue? How many remedies you suggested along the way? Tell me. I like Lindsey Graham overall. Lindsey Graham goes, Willard. How about Mr. Irrelevant himself, Willard Romney, that guy? How many solutions has Willard in his entire life ever said, you know what, here's how I think we can keep our troops safe and reduce terrorism coming in? Not a single time, Michael, have any of them ever done it. Never. Everybody regurgitates the problem. That issue with the Middle East is damned if you do and damned if you don't.
Absolutely.
And the president said, I'm going to do it. He worked to do it. And all of these guys that want to bitch and moan about it have never one time in their position as a lawmaker ever said, here's the solution I suggest, Mr. President, with all respects, please consider this. Not once have they ever done it.
No. They continue to shift sand around in their hands and expect every grain to stay the same in place as they move it around. First of all, people making decisions on how America should be involved in military affair should always be the first people advising the President of the United States. I'm saying the highest ranking military leaders who served in the military. Most of the people, president and many of us, never served in the military. So people who understand how the United States military best represents the well-being of the American people should be the people who are advising, not the people sitting in the big dome in Washington. Most of those people have never seen a uniform unless they were watching it parade by them. I feel that when people who served in the military and went up the ranks to be able to be available at a moment's notice should be the people that we call upon for this kind of advice. It should have always been like this. It's not been that way because nobody wants to take responsibility in the country. Nobody wants to take responsibility. So the president said in his campaign, I'm going to drain the swamp. I'm going to bring troops home from places that they should not be forever. The longest war has to come to an end, so forth and so on.
Michael, since this is open forum, I need to make one other comment. And I have a theory. I have a theory that it's best that you should obsess over your enemies. It's why Patton said about Erwin Rommel, the Nazi field marshal, if you remember in the film, when they do the tank war, he says, Rommel, you magnificent bastard, I read your book, because he understood you got to obsess over the opposition. I have to just make this one point, Michael. Hillary, if you're listening, do it. We want you to run. Listen, guys, there's only two reasons, and I don't mean to make light of this, so maybe I might regret saying this. Don't worry, Tim, you don't need to mute it. It's not a curse word. There's only two reasons a serial killer ever stops killing. He gets caught or he dies. The other day, Clinton was interviewed, and she said about a rematch with the president, I can beat him again. I actually believe. You know how he would say that these politicians don't believe any of the bull comes out of their mouth? I actually believe that Clinton, in her mind, does think she won in 2016. So if I'm correct on that point, let's say for argument's sake I'm right on that point. If I'm correct, Mark, imagine that person presiding over our country, our economy, our courts, and our military. Imagine a person who actually believes that she won an election she lost. What does that tell you about how she would have been as a president? Think about it.
Interesting.
What does that tell you?
You know
about this? So, Hillary, if you're listening,
do it.
Yes. You don't be afraid of the shrew, Elizabeth Warren. She's just the shrew. She's like the Shakespearean. Remember Taming of the Shrew? Kate the Shrew. We got Liz the Shrew. Don't be afraid of her. Don't be afraid of Pete Buttigieg. Being gay is not a skill or an achievement. I don't care if y'all. I don't care what you do. The privacy of your own home, Michael. And Joe, I mean, Joe's going to, again, I mean no ill will toward anybody, Michael, and I mean that, but, you know, poor Joe Biden, I mean, they better up his Secret Service detail because he's going to forget to turn the oven off one day. They need a Secret Service detail at his oven. He's going to forget to turn it off one day. So, Hillary, if you're listening, do it. Get in there. Don't listen to those other Democrats. Don't listen to them.
Now, wait.
Get in there.
This is
your time, Hillary. This is your time. Look, the fact is, Michael,
Rich, I agree.
Michael, one more point.
I think if she wants to move forward, she should do it.
Do it. And let me just say this. The true glass ceiling shattering electoral win in America's history was achieved by all of us. The true glass ceiling shattering win in the history of American politics was the first true civilian candidacy to be elected. That is a skill. That is an achievement. Your race and your gender are not skills and achievements. They're accidents. And I don't mean like you're deformed. No one has any control over that. What I'm saying is we were the true glass ceiling shattering win. The first true non-government experience, no military experience, true civilian candidacy that won. That is the glass ceiling. So whenever I hear it, Mark, so next time a Democrat talks about the glass ceiling, ask which one he's referring to because we've already shattered it. Which one are you referring to?
We've done it.
Rich, I want to run you for president. I really mean it. When Trump is finished, I think Logis for president and Mark for vice president or whatever. I love the idea.
I couldn't do the job, Michael, because I just would want to put everybody's heads through walls. That's no way to be a president.
But wait, let's take a minute and do this. Today, I'd like all of us to consider. The three of us are discussing some very important issues. How about we consider how it could have been in 2017 after the inauguration of President Trump? Let's take the high road for the next few minutes.
Yeah, could you?
With the goal of uniting all Americans for the good of America.
Mike, funny. If you put good things on the news and it went along with the change, the positive change of the economy, could you imagine if you ran with the torch instead of all this buck and change? And, you know, all we heard for 3 years is the fight against Trump.
Yes.
Could you imagine if he had the help and the support and the news was positive? Oh, my God, right?
Could you imagine, Mark and Rich and everybody listening, first we begin with both party leaders gathering with the president to talk at the White House about jobs, tax cuts, infrastructure, a one-pay-for-service type health care system, changes needed in America's schools, and the list could go on and on. Why hasn't that been able to happen? Because they're still angry over not winning the last election. Instead, we've been watching what angry people do when they don't win the election. And they want it to be known forever and ever. And there are more people like that out there than any of us want to believe.
And Mike, face it, they should have came in busloads to the Made in America event in Indianapolis for Don Buckner and us and team for what that was about. All the politicians, you know, they should have just flooded the place, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, instead of hide it.
Yes, every one of the people, the news should have had, instead of bringing out all those cameras and all, for all the negativity.
Should
for
be
all
viral
these,
right now.
They should have been going to this place and say, Mark Andolf started it. Don is moving the next step. Go out to all the people that are trying to do something for the good of the country. How do we get back on track in the next national election? Because American workers and America's businesses, they really can't afford to go backward anymore. They can't afford it. And by the way, our future, our children and our grandchildren in America can't afford to go backward.
You know, one of the talks there with some top business people, Mike, were how hard you have to work today to make a dollar just to stay in business.
Absolutely.
How hard it is. And these are places that have been in business 50
years. And you know, Mark, that's exactly right. And you know, in America, they said America was going to be a service-oriented economy. And that's what they worked for 25-plus years. And what all the prices going up, this bill, that one was going to send you a bill. You know, even the nonsense with the television, the analog going out of the service and all. A lot of people, believe it or not, are going back to antennas on their houses because they can't afford $95 and $110, especially our seniors. They can't afford that every month on a fixed income. But the thing is, none of the people in Washington, many in our cities and our states as well, have gone out of their way to speak up for the well-being of the American people. Could you imagine how much different America would be if the people on both sides of the aisle could gather there in the White House? If you look at the Blehosh plan that I put up, it's still up on the front page of American Workers Radio. Back in 2013, that statement, word for word, is as good today as it was when I made that in 2013. Why can't those people get together? Why can't the state governors meet every 4 months in the White House and talk about their common interests, their common needs, talk about what kind of situations they're having with jobs, what do they need in the schools? No. Well, it's all bickering, all slicing each other's throats off. You're going to see the next election candidates talking at the next forum. There's nothing going to be about jobs, nothing going to be about bringing businesses back. because they themselves, Democrats and Republicans, led the jobs out of the country. They pipered the jobs out of the country. They gave the rights to other countries to make those products. And in fact, they gave them long-term contracts to do it. So in other words, all these people in Washington did not make America first.
Right. They need a national agenda on the Made in America movement. And they need a conference to be held monthly, yearly. That has to be done. It has to be a national agenda.
Well, I think really the next election has to focus on that issue, not all the other nonsense. All this impeachment and flogging this and that. This is all to take the attention away from what is happening in America. People who did this to America by allowing the jobs to go, by allowing poverty to increase, by allowing the trades to be cut out of the schools, they are embarrassed right now at looking at their report card, which if I was giving a report card right now to all of them, it would be 0, 0, 0, and 0. And in this case, 0 would be a high number for them. That's the problem. Could you imagine what difference would come about in this country if people all went and said, we're here to do for America first? And by the way, many of the people who are leaders in the council, capitals, and in Washington, all of them don't feel accountable at all for what's happened in America. Oh, well, this is a global economy now. This is the way it is. I tell them off all the time. They can't stand that somebody is consistently saying, no, that's wrong. How can you drive down during your campaign from city to city, seeing the roads are broken up, seeing that factory buildings are empty, seeing that strip malls are going out of business? How do you feel about that? Why is that? You look at some of the stores that we thought would never close are closing because, thank God, Americans are wising up. They're not looking for the cheapest things. They're looking for American-made. They're supporting the local stores. And by the way, National Small Business Weekend has been a very big success. And no matter if you're a pizza maker, a kielbasa maker, a local store, pinball shop, whatever, all these people are employing Americans. If they're making food, delivering food, they're Americans. Do support them. Our people in Washington don't want to support them. They don't care about them. They're worrying about filling their pockets for the next election, which is coming up soon. Yes, Rich.
Just a quick public service announcement. I want to make my weekly appeal to our audio engineer, our great audio engineer, Henry, as Mark says, always makes us sound good. You know, our audio engineer is a swing voter in a swing state.
Let me say this. Let me say this. You guys are talking about how the politicians should have been at this event this this past week. Where was Trump? Where was your boy at? How come he wasn't there?
You're right. Yeah, absolutely.
I would have loved
if there were the vice president
there, Henry.
He had something more important to do?
I absolutely agree. Would have loved for him to have been there.
Yeah, he should have been there. Absolutely.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
But
let
me make my public service announcement, please. A swing voter in a swing state. We're going to earn your vote. We're not going to take for granted being a swing voter. We need everybody. Everyone's got a role on the team. You're getting into the starting line. We promise everybody on our team, Michael, everyone's going to have a chance to start and get into the game. So I just need to make that public service announcement. We've got about another, I think it's another 39 shows until now in the election. I just have to do it every show, again, to show that we don't take swing voters for granted. So we need you on board, please.
Well, Rich, I want to just...
public service announcement.
Thank you, Richard, for your public service. I want to tell you one more thing. This is very interesting. As I talk to some of the business people and I walk around, they tell me, you know, Michael, some of these stores are really owned by foreign countries. As some of the people retired, they were sold to foreign countries or their major investors. So in other words, in the last 30 years, our good people in Washington saw many dummy companies operating in the United States, with an office in the United States, but all of their manufacturing, shipping, marketing is all done in a foreign country. So they're operating on a name that's an American, you know, staple, yet they're owned now by foreign countries. Nobody's talking about that. I'd like to see Elizabeth Warren and all these other people running to speak up about this. What that did by having these dummy countries have the industries in the countries with dummy names, they bypassed 80 and 90% of what American workers would be doing if those countries didn't have those dummy corporations over there. A lot of the furniture places, clothing places that all look like they're American made, they're dummy names. They look great, but they're not. They're
not. A lot of false advertising. You know, you made me think, Mike, of there was a lady there that was the grandfather invented like the mattress, the box spring, and they make every spring and whatnot. It's one of the last. You know, we were seeing a lot of the last of the last, you know, but it's coming back. But again, they had the National Inventors Association there, and they ran like a Shark Tank where 20-plus people went, and, you know, they got 4 minutes to run through their product. Really good stuff, but again, Made in America. They threw a group out for not having a Made in America product. They had lied, and they had to bring in the police department to get them out, you know. So, again, Mike, we're all talking about, this has to be first and front line on the national line. And how do we get it there? That's the question. How do we get Made in America, you know, that spotlight? We always said since the beginning, Rich, when I first met, it's not sexy enough for some reason, but it means more than anything, but it's not sexy enough.
But it's even sad that we would have to be appealing for something like this.
Yeah, right.
We have to be fighting against dummy corporations in some foreign country.
It's the mighty dollar.
It's the dollar. And all those people in Washington are not happy that groups like us are out there talking about this because it's taking money out of their coffers.
Yeah, I got friends with international, stocks in international companies that don't agree with what I'm doing for that reason, Mike.
Curtis put out a very good piece this past week, and that was highlighting the fact that China has lent so much money to America, has invested so much money, and America's pension plans are investing money in China for the better interest rate. And as a result of that, China is able to have additional money to do its infrastructure, build more factories, whatever it is. We are giving them the money for that extra 2% on the dollar.
Yeah, and how do we give it to them? Is it all through products? You know, is it all through products? And that would be a neat avenue to...
It's
review.
Also through investment. We're investing in these countries. We're borrowing money from foreigners to pay
local
bills. I'll tell you, I learned a lot in the last few days, and I have changed my mind on a lot of things. One of them is everybody has to earn their way up the ladder. And President Trump, I mean, he has been an example to the world. Leaders look and say, wow, you have a conversation with him, be careful because you may get this and that. I think, quite frankly, leaders should have conversations, open conversations, and be able to say whatever they want. This, what's going on with this impeachment and all, to me, it's stupid. It's foolishness. What if those people put the time into helping our economy grow, getting more interest in putting this trades and all the programs, the technology programs, back in the schools, that would be time better spent. But trying to focus on trying to whip one man and the people surrounding him, it doesn't make sense to me. And by the way, the American people have wised up a lot. They're tired of watching this idioticness.
Yeah, that's a good point, though, Michael. But that's a really good point. You know, trust the American people, right? I mean, isn't that what 2016 was ultimately about? It was about putting trust in the American people to make the right decision, you know. And sometimes the right decision, you could be ambiguous about it, right? You could, you know, it sometimes it may not quite be as black and white, But I've learned in life and in business, Mark, you know, and it's complimentary, but I've found that in life and in business, the hard decisions to make tend to be the correct decisions, though, actually. When you really look at it, I mean, Mark, you know, you had to make, I've had to make, everyone, you had to make some really tough decisions, Mark, right? Letting family members go. My
That's
God,
right.
like...
That's right.
Like, think about that. You know, I mean, that's just, but in a, and I don't mean to make it, I'm trying to keep it in the, you know, to keep the humanity of this, but it was a decision that had to be made at the time. So it was the right decision, right? You don't ever cheer it. You don't want it to happen. There's other decisions. So we made, it was a hard decision for a lot of people. Michael, I understand that.
It probably kept me afloat, Rich, is what it did.
Tough choices tend to be the correct ones. When you really look at it, they tend to be the correct ones. And that's what it is. Trust the people. You know, trust, and in our case, you know, trust the majority of people in the majority of states. Trust them. You know, talk to them like human beings, not just votes and dollar signs. I know it's hard for a politician to do that, but when you keep it in the personal and not so much in the political, and I know that sounds crazy to hear that coming out of Loges' mouth, but when you can keep it in the personal, right? You know, that's why Made in America, that's why it will succeed. Because when it's taken out of the political realm and put into the personal realm, the household realm, the kitchen table, the four walls of the home, trust the people, it will make sense. You know, it will make sense to them. And it's just, and you know, we just, it's just, and I know it could be drudgery and it could be, you know, rowing that hoe is tough sometimes, but keeping at it, eventually it's paying off for you now, Mark. And so, you know, congrats on going to the show and being a featured speaker. Well earned, well deserved.
God bless you all. God bless America. Thank you, Rich. Thank you, Mark. Let's continue this conversation again on our next show next Wednesday. Until I have a chance to meet you in my travels, I want to thank you for speaking up in behalf of American Made, because America needs all of us. Have a great one, everyone.
You too, guys. And our listeners, buy a Made in America product and feel proud of it. Thank you.
Thanks, everyone. Hillary, if you're listening, do it.